today is Pentecost Sunday, and that's why the theme is Holy Spirit power. Pentecost Sunday for Christians, where the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church in the book of Acts. And some believe that the power of the Holy Spirit was limited to the early church. I believe it's God's will for all churches throughout history. It is for all churches around the world that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the will of God that catalyst flows with the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's why our church theme verse is Acts 1:8. And it says this, but you will receive power. Okay, this is the promise of God, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And as a believer, every believer, Holy Spirit lives in you. Okay? Holy Spirit lives in you. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And God's people said. Now, you know, Acts 1:8 is kind of the theme verse for the whole book of Acts. So what you see, Acts chapter 1 to chapter 7, what you see is the Holy Spirit power in the church in Jerusalem. Okay, you see the Holy Spirit power moving in the church in Jerusalem. And then you go to chapter 8 to chapter 12, you see the Holy Spirit power move in Judea and Samaria, where the churches are established there because of the movement of the Holy Spirit in God's people. And then Acts chapter 13 to 28, we see the Holy Spirit power move, reaching Grecian cities and the Roman world. Right? And that's pretty much the theme of the book of Acts. And the theme is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But after the book of Acts, the next, you know, couple thousand years in church history, we see it doesn't stop there, right? We see the gospel of Jesus Christ moves through Europe, right? But it doesn't stop there. We see pilgrims cross the ocean to the Americas, right? And the gospel is reached here, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? It goes back to the other side of the world, and the gospel spreads to Africa and spreads through Asia. And in the 90s, I was working in Asia, in China, ministering to the house church there in the 90s. And the Christians in China, in the house church Christians in China, they were praying that God would use them to reach the 1040 window. What is the 1040 window? 1040 window is an area on earth that's the most unreached, okay? Most unreached people group, unreached nations, unreached tribes. Most of them never even heard the gospel or even the name of Jesus in that area, right? And the Christians in China, the house church, they were praying that God will raise them up. And there was this old trade route called the Silk Road that goes from China through the 1040 window all the way back to Jerusalem. And what they were praying, God, that they would raise us up, this Chinese Christian, and send them through the Silk Road, reaching the 1040 window, back to Jerusalem. And so the house church in China in the 90s, they called this movement Back to Jerusalem. So we see the gospel starting in Jerusalem, going around the world, okay, and then going back to Jerusalem. Okay. I believe, if this happens, the gospel has gone around the world. Okay, around the world. But we cannot forget what Acts 1:8 says. To reach the world, to transform the world, okay, we need the Holy Spirit power. Okay? We need Holy Spirit power. Now, the early church faced many difficulties. You know, there was persecution, there was conflict in the church, there was heresy, there was immorality, there was spiritual battle. But what the book of Acts shows is this. These barriers are broken through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Those barriers are broken through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples, okay, prayed, and this is, again, first time. Pentecost was the first time. That's why Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit. Okay? After Pentecost, when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in you. Okay, Holy Spirit is in you. And wait, so the disciple prayed and waited as Jesus commanded them. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit power came upon them. And the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 1:8 says, then it will make you a witness, give you the power to be a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? It doesn't mean you just give out four spiritual laws to everybody and I'm being a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? Your life is transformed by an encounter with God. There's a life transformation. There's new life. The old is gone. The new has come. And the disciples, with the power of the Holy Spirit, when they prayed, the earth shook. Okay? They preached with authority. They were generous. They weren't selfish anymore, but they were anybody who had need, they would help them. They loved one another. And they broke the cultural and racial barrier through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look at the early church, we could really relate with some of the barriers that they face. The early church, they face legalism, just like us. They face self-righteousness. There was idol worship. There was worldliness. There was selfishness. There was greed. There was oppression by the Romans. And there was blatant racism and sexism in that time. Much, much worse. I know people think this never racism never has been so bad as now. No, go back to the early church time. Sexism, it was ridiculous. Jesus, in his relationship with in the gospel, with every woman, he broke the moray of that time. He wasn't supposed to talk to the Samaritan woman. That's why the disciples were so shocked that he talked to a Samaritan woman. There were poor and oppressed everywhere. You know, sick and dying are around them. There was demonic power. There was poverty. There was trials and difficulties. And again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it broke this cultural barrier. You know, I could understand when the church started. It started at Pentecost with Jews that lived in Grecian city that spoke different language with Hebraic Jews who lived in Jerusalem. And they got together and they became one church. You know how difficult that is? I don't think you understand. See, I grew up in a Korean church. And I experienced that. What they call first generation Korean were the Koreans who spoke Korean. Second generation Koreans are those who grew up in America, like the Grecian Jews, who spoke Greek. And growing up in that same nationality, we look the same, okay? We all ate kimchi, you know? We ate the same food. But the conflict that arises. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came upon the early church and he started the church. God started the church because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit power doesn't mean you just shake. Wow, that's a lot of power. This person shaking more, that's more power. No, the power of the Holy Spirit breaks cultural boundaries, breaks racism and sexism. That's why, you know what happened? They didn't think I was going to do this. Gentiles were becoming Christians, and they called this church in Antioch. And Barnabas, they sent Barnabas, what's going on? Gentiles, not Jews, were becoming Christians. And Barnabas saw the work of the Holy Spirit, and because he saw the work of the Holy Spirit, this is genuine work of God. This is a genuine work of God. You see, the disciples in New Testament, you need to understand this, were just like us. They were not super Christians. They were just like us. They made mistakes. They got tired. They got frustrated. They had fear. They got angry. They got depressed. But Catalyst family, we need to remember, Holy Spirit power did not stop with the early church. It continued after the book of Acts through tyrannical leaders and governments. It continued through the dark ages, past pandemics, economic depression, demonic attack. Holy Spirit moves in his people during shaking and storms throughout history. Catalyst family, let's believe together. Okay, let's believe together. No matter what the barrier or difficulties, spiritual attack that we are facing, Holy Spirit gives us power. Okay? Say to your neighbor, Holy Spirit gives you power. Now, the unbiblical view of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the human is the human perspective. You see, we say, you know, only Holy Spirit move only when we're comfortable. When we're feeling good, that's when Holy Spirit really moves in a powerful way. When there's material blessing, when there's financial security, when we have food, when we have money, when the air conditioner works, when we have health. But more than in good times, God's people need to believe God moves in a powerful way in dark times. Okay, in dark times. Let's believe together as a church. You are sick, hunger for the healing of the Holy Spirit. You lost your job. You're going through a difficult financial hardship. Believe for the Holy Spirit provision. There's conflict in relationship. Believe for God's restoration. There's spiritual battle. Believe. Because God is in you. You are more than a conqueror. There's going to be God's victory. There's depression. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. It's joy. There's darkness. God's light will shine brighter. Let's not fear. Let's not worry. But instead, let's put our trust in the Lord. Where there is a desert, God will send his rain, his revival. You know, church is to hold the Holy Spirit, not human power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. If the church is about politics, position, you know, position in the church is about performance, it is relying on human power. Okay? If the church is about image, how you look, what car you drive, how big your house, what college you went to, if it's about pleasing people, it's about people's approval, the church is relying on human power. If the church is about charismatic personality, about celebrity leadership, it's about talent, the church is relying on human power. And the result of running a church with human power, the church will be unhealthy. The church will be fleshly. The church will become in focus. It will be a weak church. So, you need to know what God says about you. God says you are his temple. Okay? Say to your neighbor, you are God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I didn't make this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you, in your midst, okay? In you. You are God's temple. You are God's dwelling place, okay? Meaning, Holy Spirit lives in you, okay? Holy Spirit lives in you. See, in the Old Testament, the temple was a place of God's presence, you know, where his glory shine, you know, overflow in the temple. So when the temple was dedicated in the Old Testament, the glory of God filled the temple. The glory of God filled the temple. And God's power was manifested through the temple. Through the temple. The Bible says, in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, you are the temple, and God dwells in you. Yeah, God dwells in you. Not to perform, not to do rituals, not to play church, but to release the glory of God. For God's power to fill you and overflow through you. Okay? That's the temple. So not to play church. God has a greater calling, not to play church, but to be the church. Okay? To be the church. Again, this encouraged me. I meditate on it, you know, about Moses a lot because I could relate with him. Like us, he did not know how to be a temple in the beginning. Okay, did not know how to hold the presence of God. When he had the initial encounter with God. An initial encounter. It was a powerful encounter. Okay? And you could have a powerful encounter, you know, here, and then maybe years later you have another powerful encounter. But you see, without you knowing how to be his temple, it's, you don't understand the power of God. Right? See, that initial encounter with God, with the through the burning bush, God tells Moses, my presence and power will move through you. You know what he told Moses? I will be with you. Okay? I will bless you. I will use you. I will speak through you. I will restore. I will set free. I will deliver. I will lead and I will guide. And you know what Moses said? He did not know how to be a temple. You got the wrong person. You got the wrong person. Please send somebody else. Okay? Please send somebody else. God was pretty much saying, you know, I will dwell in you. You will be my temple. I will move in power through you. And Moses didn't have the faith to believe in the beginning. And that's, I get encouraged because that's, I can relate. I can really relate with him. Right? You know, what Moses was saying is, y'all, you know, come on. He was looking not at himself as how God saw him as a temple of God. You know what he saw? His past failures, his weaknesses, his fears, his insecurities. Right? More than how God saw him. And that prevented him from believing he could be a temple of God where God would dwell in him and use him. But thank God, over time, he changed. Okay, over time, from Exodus 3 to Exodus 33, okay, it only took 30 chapters. It only took 30 chapters. But God says to Moses, it is time to go into the promised land, but I will not go with you. but I'm going to send an angel that will help you. And Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. Do not send us. Moses became God's temple. You know what he was saying? I don't care about the angels. And you know what else he was saying? Okay, the promised land, there's giants, there's walled cities. But you know what he was saying? To be the temple, I'm not going to be afraid of them. I don't care about how I look, what others think about me. If you do not go with us, I'm not going to go. If you don't dwell in me, I'm not going. I'm your temple. Dwell in me, oh God, and move through me. Moses, as a temple, was saying, God, you're the most important person in my life. You are my creator. See, you have to have this encounter with God. He didn't have that encounter with God in the burning bush yet. It was just a powerful situation. But over time, I believe he had an encounter with God as a healer, as a deliverer, as a redeemer, as my savior. God, you are my identity. You're my hope, my source of strength, my protection. And he had this, you see, if your encounter with God is somebody who's always angry and upset at you, you're not having an encounter with God. When I have an encounter with God, you're the one who is patient with me. You're the one who shows me mercy. You're the one, when nobody else shows, you're the one who shows me grace and love. If you had that kind of encounter with God, that's an encounter with God. You're having an encounter with God. What Moses was saying, I hunger for you. I want to see your glory. You are the source of my power. Catalyst, all around us, the world is going crazy. It is going crazy. There's storm after storm after storm. And the shaking that's happening all around the world is bringing to the surface our fears, our insecurities, our addictions, our sin, our anger, our dysfunction, division. It's bringing up to the surface the lies, the arguments, the imaginations, the faithlessness. And the devil, through the shaking, wants to use this time to steal, to destroy, and kill. That's what the Bible says. But this is what the people of God needs to hold on to. Not look at and hold on to and believe what the devil is doing, but what God is doing. But the Holy Spirit wants to move in you. The Holy Spirit wants to give you power. Okay? Wants to give you power. Like Moses, it is time. Why? It is time. It's time for God's power to fill his temple. And I am believing in this for Catalyst. I'm believing in this for myself. And I'm asking you to believe with me. Believe with me. You know, some people are waiting to win the lotto, you know, to transform their life. You're going to be waiting a long, 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 long time. Okay? I don't know one person, out of maybe hundreds and thousands of people that I know, not one person who won the lotto, personally. If you know somebody who won the lotto, raise your hand. The lotto. What? Nobody here. Some people are waiting for the circumstances to change. Somebody that you know to change, for their life to change. Some people are waiting for worldly opportunity to change their life. Some people are waiting for a boyfriend or a girlfriend to change their life. Let's not put our faith in those things. Let's hunger for the Holy Spirit. Let's seek the Holy Spirit. has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. The devil, this is the voice of the devil. Okay? If this is what you're hearing, this is the devil. The devil says, you can't. You're too afraid. You're too weak. You're too broken. There's too much bondage in your life. You're too sick. I want to remind you, the disciples in the upper room, they weren't the smartest. They weren't the most powerful. They weren't the most accomplished. They weren't the most beautiful. They weren't the most charismatic, the most popular, most famous, or the most rich. The disciples were ordinary people in the upper room. They were not perfect. They struggled like you and me with wrong motives. They had conflicts. They argued with one another. They lacked confidence. But there's a difference. They waited for the Holy Spirit. Okay? They waited for the Holy Spirit. They hunger for the Holy Spirit. And then they were touched by the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had the power of the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not just for the early church. It starts out with faith. Okay? That's why I'm preaching this truth, preaching this sermon. Okay? It's not just for the early church. This is what Jesus said. It's for all believers. He's not going to trick you. You know what he said about the Holy Spirit? If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you stone. Right? God gives good gifts. Perfect gift. Right? It's for all believers. It is for Catalyst. It is for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, okay, worship team, can you come up?